Jason mentioned that this pulpit makes him more nervous than others. That's because we are his sending church. But it's also a unique situation. You know, typically when a missionary comes in, they're in and all of their focus is just on the services. While he's here for 1 week right now. He got back last Monday, pulled into my front yard, lost his supper in my front yard because he was sick. And my grass all died. No, but, you know, and then he's got a container out here. He's going to be here now. He's going to be here for a week or a couple weeks in June. And then that container has to be ready to go to Alaska. And so while he's here, he's very busy. We're like, you know, hey, these are our grandchildren, too. And we need time. We're not getting it. Shame on... No. Anyway, it's all good. Come preach the Word of God to us, and we're looking forward to it.
If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. All right, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Word of God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I want to look here at a little bit this morning at just a couple of these verses here, particularly verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you just speak to hearts this morning. Help us to be reminded of some things, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray, Lord, that you would just work in their heart. Convict them, Lord, of their need of salvation. Help them, Lord, to turn to you, Lord, to get that settled before it is eternally too late. I pray that you just help us now. Help each and every one of us to just get something from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, outside of a church building, outside of fundamental independent Baptist circles, there's a world of people that do not know Christ. As we mentioned a little bit this morning in Sunday school class, they have no witness. They have no access to the gospel. Why? Because they don't have the Word of God. They have not heard. They have not been preached to. They have not been proclaimed the gospel to. And the question here in the text is, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? We know the answer to that. They cannot. They cannot do that. And then it continues on. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They can't. And then it continues on, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And once again, we know the answer. They can't. But then the question is, knowing these answers, knowing the situation, knowing that they cannot call on whom they have not believed, knowing they cannot believe in whom they have not heard, knowing they cannot hear without a preacher, what is our response to that? What is our response toward that? Toward those people that we know they are out there. We know they have not heard. We know they cannot believe on the gospel. They cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if they have not heard. Knowing that, what does that do for us? Does that move us? Does that burden our hearts, perhaps? I hope it does. Perhaps that motivates us to give money to missions so that we can send missionaries to go. That's good. That's great. We should be doing that. But perhaps it does more than that. Perhaps it motivates us and goes, I can tell. I can give the gospel. We looked this morning at the power of the Word of God and how that the power of the Word of God has the power to break that the rock in the heart. How the power of the Word of God has the power to save in verse 17 there. We looked at that this morning. Do we give the gospel? Are we doing something for the cause of Christ? Or are we ignoring these souls? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I want you to consider this. Perhaps we all know what an ambassador is. I think we do. That's pretty basic, right? There's somebody that goes from one country to another country. But consider this. If an ambassador goes to one country and he's talking with that country and that country says, hey, we like your country's policies. We like what you're doing. Keep up the good work. And he takes that message and he goes back to that other country and he says, hey, they said if you keep it up, it's bad news. Your policies stink. It's no good. Is he being a truthful ambassador? No, he's lying. Probably he's going to start a war. Probably he's going to cause some conflict. He's going to cause issues. But what we do is we live our lives and we say, God, I love you. God, I want to follow your word. Lord, I want to obey you. And when it comes to the lost, we go over and we say, hey, world, you're not so bad. It's not really that bad. We don't say that. But we live our life like that. And you know what we are? We're a lying ambassador. We are living our lives in opposition to what we are proclaiming with our mouth. We are living our lives in direct denial to what we proclaim with our mouth, to what we say the Word of God would teach. To what we say that the Word of God would teach us, we need to reach the lost. The Word of God would teach us, we need to live for the Lord. We believe all of that, but we're not living it. And so by our life, we're liars. By our life, we're an ambassador that says, God, I love you. World, I love you too. That's not what God is looking for. That is not what God desires. Let's go to John chapter 3. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 verse 16. We could quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Notice this, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You see there, verse 18, he that believeth is not condemned. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not be condemned. You can never lose that salvation. You can never get away from that, and that's a glorious thing. But it continues on, and it says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Not because they had done heinous crimes, not because they had been a wicked person in their life. Those things may be true, but maybe they're not. But it says, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Not because of the things they did, but because they did not believe in the name of the Son of God. You know, we would all agree, I believe, and the Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there are that are going that way. I'm paraphrasing. But it says, narrow is the way that leads to life. So we understand that the vast majority of the world is headed down the broad road. We understand that the vast majority of the world is lost without Christ. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior. We understand that. But what are we doing about that? What are we doing for that? And that is where missions is. That is what missions is. It's seeking to reach the lost. It's seeking to reach the lost perhaps in other parts of the world where you and I cannot go and live and work. And so we send a missionary and we support them and we try to help them get there and try to help them be a help to those people and to reach those people with the gospel. But my question is if they go there and we support them from here, who will support them when we no longer support them? Who will support them when churches here in the United States no longer can send missionaries because they have dwindled, because there is no more people to send them? Who will send them? The Philippines are sending missionaries around the world today because America is failing. Why? Why? Because Christians are no longer dogs with bark. Christians are no longer actively proclaiming the Word of God, as was mentioned in Sunday school class. Christians are failing at Christians. And so missionaries are failing to go because there's less and less churches to get support from. That's one problem. One of the others is God is calling. People are not responding. Bible says, I shouldn't even quote it because I can't quote it right. I'm the Lord, I change not. God hasn't changed. God hasn't stopped calling people. People have stopped listening. People have stopped coming. We've been in many, many churches and they say, we need more missionaries. We can't find missionaries. Who are we going to send? And I say, well, here I am. Send me double amount. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. But why? Why is it? God's people are not listening to their God. God's people are not following the same word that God's people have been following for thousands of years. God's people are not living by the same book that God's people had been living by. God's people are not being God's people. And it creates problems. Are we being God's people? I'd like to think I am. But a lot of times I fall short. I fail. I think that's all of us. We're not perfect people. God isn't looking for perfect people. You can look at example after example after example in the Word of God where God used someone who was not equipped, but God still used them. Look at Gideon. Look at Moses. Look at many, many of the men in the Bible. Jacob. All the different ones. God used people that were ill-equipped. David. Different ones. Why? Because God needs people that will follow Him. Or they're no good. As Christians, we've become American. And by that I mean we've become independent. We no longer need the God that saved our soul. Because we can get by without Him. We can do without, we can live without Him. And as Christians, we are failing the cause of Christ because we're living independent. We're living independent of God. God is looking for people who will go. God is looking for people to send. You see here in the text, once again, it says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They're lost. They're on their way to hell because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And my question is who will go to tell them? Who will go and give them the gospel? You know, we're on deputation to Alaska. And I've told several people, if the Lord hadn't called me to Alaska, I'd be planting a church somewhere else. Because if you travel this country very long at all, you're going to figure out there is no churches to speak of left in this country. Who's going? Who is going to America? Who is going here? Who is going to Iowa? Who is going to Pennsylvania? Who is going to Nebraska? Who is planting churches there? And you say, I'm not called. Are you holding to the stuff here so that others may go? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you are called into the ministry and you don't know how. Maybe you don't know how yet. You don't know what avenue yet. Are you serving God now so that He can direct and guide and you can serve the Lord where He would have you? It starts now. Preparation starts today. You don't wake up one day and be like, I think I'm ready to go do something today. It doesn't work like that. But what about the rest of us? What about the rest of everyone else that's not called to go plant a church? Are we giving the gospel to those who we come in contact with? Are we reaching the lost in our area? Romans chapter 10, once again. I can go to Romans chapter 10. Go over to Acts chapter 8, if you would please. Acts chapter 8. Verse 14, Romans chapter 10, it says, And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Notice that. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Here you have Saul, the persecutor, and he's hauling people off, and all these people are scattered abroad in verse 1, except the apostles. It says there, but then verse 4, all they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. As they were fleeing for their lives, as they are running, as they are not in comfort, not in their own house, not in their own comfort zone, but they are fleeing for their lives. They are giving the gospel. They're saying, hey, let me tell you how you can know Christ. Let me tell you what great things Jesus had done for you, Let me show you how you can trust in Jesus Christ and know Him as your Savior. They're preaching the gospel as they are fleeing for their lives because Saul is wreaking havoc. We say it's too inconvenient to give the gospel. Do we need persecution to give the gospel? Do we need to lose our freedoms to give it? I hope we don't. I pray that we don't. I don't desire that. But if we won't give it now, will God have to stir the pot to get His people to follow Him? If we're not following Him, who are we following? We're following ourselves, generally. We're busy. I understand we have to have finances to live. I understand we have to have different things like that. But is our focus on that? Have we wandered off on focus? Have we wandered off on finances? Is a sport consuming all of our free energy? There's nothing wrong with sports, but if they're in a wrong place, they can definitely become an idol. But are we caring for the things that God would have us care for? Or have we wandered off? Have we wandered onto other things? Have we distracted ourselves? Verse 4 there, it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. As they are fleeing for their lives, they are preaching the word of God. Go over to Luke chapter 8. I want to look at an example of someone that got their life changed. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 26. The Bible says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. We'll continue reading in just a moment. But here you have this guy, he's out of his mind. The maniac of Gadara, we many times call him. He's a lunatic, he's out of his mind, he's possessed by Satan. If you read the other passages, he's crying, no man can go that way because of this guy. He's living in the tombs. He's cutting himself. He's messed up. He's out of his mind because Satan has him bound. And you see, this guy is serving Satan. Satan is seeking this guy's destruction. That's why he's cutting himself. That's why he's living in these tombs. That's why he's living this life of debauchery. Because Satan wants this guy gone. Satan wants this guy destroyed. And you know, God comes along and God casts out Satan. He casts out these devils. And he casts them out here, but they ask a request. And they ask if they can go into this herd of swine that's feeding over here. And Jesus allows them to do that. But notice what happens. Verse 33, "Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked." You know, Satan lost this man. He couldn't destroy this man because Jesus cast him out. But he immediately seeks the destruction of something else. He seeks the destruction of these pigs. These bunch of pigs, not even a human. But Satan seeks their destruction. And Satan destroyed them. And you know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're serving Satan if you don't know Christ. You have two options. You serve Satan or you serve Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you are serving Satan. And Satan seeks your destruction like he sought this man's. And Satan will seek to destroy you through one way or another. And he will seek to destroy you again and again and again and again. And if Satan is successful, he will destroy you and you will dwell with him in hell for all eternity. But you know, there's a choice. There's an option. There's a way out. You don't need to serve Satan. You don't need to serve Satan's destruction. You can serve Jesus Christ. You can serve Him as your Savior. You can accept Him as your Savior. You can serve Him as your Master. Yes, there may be struggles. There may be trials along the road. It may be a hard life still. At the end of the day, though, if you serve Jesus Christ, you will get rewards for your service for Him, and you will be able to cast those rewards at Jesus' feet in heaven, where you'll spend all eternity. How much better is it to serve Jesus Christ? How much better is it to serve the God of heaven instead of the God of hell? How much better is it to serve Him? Satan sought this guy's destruction, and he seeks your destruction today if you do not know Christ is your Savior. Christian, you're not out of the woods either. He seeks to destroy your testimony. He seeks to destroy your effectiveness. He seeks to talk to you. He seeks to convince you that the Word of God is not true, that you can believe another word. You can believe some other Bible. You don't need the King James Bible. That's what Satan is seeking to tell you. But Satan's also seeking to tell you that the lost don't want to hear. Satan wants you to believe the lost don't want to hear. Because if Satan can convince you that the lost don't want to hear, then Satan will convince you that you don't need to do anything. And that's not what the Word of God says. That's not what my Bible says. But Satan is a destroyer. And Satan seeks destruction. Are we going to serve Satan? If you're saved, you can't be possessed. But you can serve him. A friend of the world is the enemy of God. We can be saved, we can be born again, we can be on our way to heaven and living our lives in opposition to Jesus Christ. In fact, I think many times we do that. And I don't think we do it intentionally. But not witnessing is opposition to the Word of God. The Bible teaches over and over and over and over again that Christians are to proclaim the Word of God. So if you're here today and you're not witnessing, I challenge you. You're not living for God. Not all the way. You can't be. Because the Word of God says that we need to be witnessing for the cause of Christ. Let's continue reading here. Verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. God got a hold of one man. God changed one man here. And he said, go back to your own house. Tell them what I've done for you. And this guy listened. It says he went his way and published through the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Notice this. And it came to pass when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. How were these people waiting for him? Because one man obeyed. One man listened. One man got the commandment to go. One man wanted to be with Jesus, wanted to be with his Savior, wanted to be with the one that had just delivered him from Satan's oppression, from Satan's possession, and he wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, no, you can't come with me. You need to go back. You need to go back to those people that know you, and you need to give them and tell them what I've done for you. And one man listened, one man obeyed. And the people were all waiting for Jesus to come back again that way. Because one man listened. I'm not here to tell you that if you go witness to one person, the whole state of Iowa is going to turn to Christ. But I would venture to say that if you never witness to anyone, no one will get saved by your testimony. No one will get saved by your witness. You say, it's not easy. Is working a job easy? Just out of curiosity. I enjoyed my work, but it wasn't easy. I enjoy my work today, but it's not always easy. I get to talk to weirdos all the time. Not always. I'm kidding, okay? I talk to a lot of normal people. But seriously, if the price was right, we would do it hard. We would do what was difficult. If the income was enough, we would do a nasty job. What's the difference? The difference is a dollar we'll make today, we'll spend tomorrow. In the light of eternity, it'll make very little difference. But the soul we win for Christ can win another and another, and it'll be in heaven for all eternity. Your dollars won't be. The souls you win for Christ will be. And they'll be there to thank their Savior, like you and I. You might even get a little thanks out of that as well. You're not going to get glory out of it, but you might get some thanks out of it. But how wrapped up in this world do we get? In the things of this life? I understand we have to survive. I understand we have to live. I understand all of those things. But I liked this sign the other week. And I'm not going to be able to quote it. But it said something about if you could tell God's heartbeat, you would find missions. God's desire for us as Christians are to reach the lost. And that is one of His primary desires. But are we accomplishing that? Or are we failing the cause of Christ? Let's go back to our text. We'll close here. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're desiring to go to Alaska and give the gospel where the gospel has not been given in many places, where many people don't even know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know what a Bible is. You talk to them, they have no idea. They have no knowledge of the truth. We have that knowledge. We hold it in our hand today, and we take it for granted. While there is a nation that was founded under God, but doesn't know who God is. There's a nation who is built upon this book, and many of them have no idea what this book says. And most have no idea the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. According to an app I have that tells me all independent Baptist churches in America, and there may be a few that are on there that aren't on the app. Very, very few, I will say, because I haven't found them yet. But I ran a filter on it. I just ran to make sure they weren't anything other than KJV at least listed. And they're independent Baptist. That's it. In America today, there is supposedly, North America, so this is including Canada, 13,000 churches. And you say that's a lot for 330 million people? It's not a lot. Most of those churches are 5 and 6 people. Many, many of them are. Who will go to America? Who's going to give the gospel? Have you noticed? Have you looked? Have you driven around this country? I have. I get that privilege, but I get that curse. Because I see the state we're in. I see where the faith is. I see where the Word of God is. It's lowering and lowering. Music is headed out the door. There is no more standards. Country music is fully infiltrating our music as a whole. Churches are not holding to what churches are to hold to. Christians are not holding what Christians are to hold to. And so churches are changing to accommodate their members. Are we lifting high the Word of God? Are we proclaiming the gospel? God's heartbeat is missions. Are you giving the gospel? You can give your dollars. Those are good. Those are not a replacement for your witness. Are we giving the gospel to those around us, to those you know? You know people I'll never meet. You work with people. You meet people. You have relatives I'll never see. Pastor will never meet. Pastor will never see. Do they know you know Christ? Are we giving the gospel? Are we standing strong on what we stand on? Or are we losing it as a church, as a country? Missions. Who will go? Who will go? How shall they hear without a preacher? You can be that preacher. You can be that witness. That preacher is not a pastor. It's not a missionary. It's someone who proclaims the gospel. You can be that someone. But you need to be it. We're not getting better because Christians are holding their mouths shut. We're getting worse. I know I'm belaboring a point. Without Christ, we are doomed as a church. Without Christ, we are doomed as a nation. And without Christ, the world is on their way to hell. And we're congratulating them on their way. That is not the God in my Bible. We need to be making a difference for the cause of Christ. We need to be dogs with bark for the cause of Christ. We need to be giving the gospel to all we come into contact with when it avails itself, the opportunity. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you just help us to be this. Lord, they're not going to hear without a preacher. Help us to be the preacher, Lord. Help us to be the witness. Help us to just give your gospel, Lord. Lord, we looked at the power of it in Sunday school. I pray that you just help us in it. Help us to be faithful to it, Lord. Lord, oftentimes we emphasize Christian living and we emphasize different things, and those are very good things, Lord. But we can't forget about other things as well. And Lord, I don't want to belittle those things by any means. But we have to give the gospel also. Just pray that you'd help us in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet, and as the piano plays, we're going to give an invitation. If God spoke to your heart this morning about something, I'd encourage you to come and talk to Him. Are you witnessing? Are you talking to people about the lost? Maybe there's someone here today and you're not saved. As Brother Halford gave his testimony, there was an invitation. That's what this is. It's an opportunity for you to come and talk to the Lord. But if you're here and you're not saved, it's an opportunity for you to come and find somebody that can tell you how to know that if you died, you'd go to heaven and not hell. As these are praying, let me just ask this. How many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You know that. Would you raise your hand? If you're saved and you know it, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody that would say, I'm not saved and I need somebody to pray for me? Day by day, we encounter people that need the gospel. Hey man, that was a good message. We needed it, and it is necessary. Boy, we've got to be reminded there's a world out there that's on their way to hell, and we know it, but we need that reminder to keep us focused, to keep us going after souls, talking to people about the Lord. I want you to think about a couple things. What are you doing personally to get the gospel out? What can you do to help missionaries get the gospel out? You think about that throughout this week and next. And then let's also just be reminded, let's take care of our missionaries that are coming in. We'll take a love offering for them. Just drop it in the box with an envelope. If you want to give something to the missionaries, we'll divide it down accordingly between the three missionaries that are coming in. And then 4 o'clock today, international dinner. Come back at 4, bring some food, and enjoy. We'll have a good time of fellowship, a good time just to focus it. Look, it's part of it. And let's have the Wasson family go back to their table back there. You can stop by fellowship with them. Tonight, he'll give a video presentation about Alaska. We'll have a question-answer time for him where you have a chance to ask questions. I hope that you'll come tonight. Some of you come pretty regularly on Sunday morning. Come back tonight, okay? Come for the international dinner at 4. Just stay right on through for service at 6:30. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that was preached. God, continue to stir our hearts. God, forgive us. We all too often were just concerned with society and things that are going on where we ought to be concerned with eternity. God, I pray that you would help us to be as focused as we ought to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.